Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and He's in the miracle working business. Amen. God bless you. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message that we've been covering for a number of weeks, Perfect in Heart. And I'd like to share, as I made mention on yesterday's broadcast, one of the most important and significant features of this pursuit of a perfect heart is with this final trait, if you will, that I'd like to share with you, and that is unity. Not only, you know, there's a unity that comes within our own person when we experience healing, when we're no longer torn apart by emotions or memories or things the enemy has done to us, because, you know, the enemy knows those who are his, and sometimes even as children, we're especially vulnerable and experience abuse on all different kinds of level, even if it's just emotional abuse, and perhaps I shouldn't say just emotional abuse, that can leave great and deep scars. However, God wants to bring us into wholeness, into that's what holy means, to be whole in terms of our person, our being, and then, of course, unity in the body of Christ. That's unity and oneness, just as the Trinity is one, is so important. And that's what, there's an old song we used to sing, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Amen. And they will know that there's something different about us, because as the times grow darker, that difference, the separation between light and dark, good and evil, is becoming more and more dramatically and starkly apparent. And so when we, beloved, as individuals come into that place with the Lord, and it is a personal step for each one of us of consecration and dedication, and it's not necessarily a one-time thing. I think God causes us from time to time to renew that vow, because He's showing us more aspects of our life we need to consecrate. When we're able to do that, Jesus then will become Lord and Master of every area of our lives. And then an exciting and tremendous thing is going to happen. The body of Christ will begin to arise. We will begin to do those greater works that Jesus has called us to do. Now, if you didn't hear a previous broadcast, I mentioned a disclaimer. That doesn't mean that you got to be in a state of perfection, even in terms of your heart, before God can use you. I can remember once, oh my goodness, I wasn't even saved. It started, I had just gotten back to California, I was staying with some friends, and they invited me to a home meeting, and I was somewhat reluctant. I was really in a state of confusion, because I didn't think I was being drawn by the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize that, but I was still resisting. My mind, my logic, my reason, my background had all sorts of barriers, and I can remember that at that meeting, the evangelist from LA, he just turned and looked at me. I was sitting cross-legged on the floor with my headband, whatever, and he says, "Young lady, God's dealing with you." And I remember I answered, "Yes, I know." And people prayed for me, not to receive Jesus. They just prayed for me. And so after that meeting, a young lady ministered, I believe it was a prophetic word to me, and it really spoke to my heart. And now as we talked after that ministry, she said something that was like, huh? Which I know now, obviously she was very immature in the Lord. But the point is, God used that. So we can still be used of the Lord, and God wants to use us regardless of whatever state of spiritual maturity we are in. So don't feel you're just going to fold your hands, you're going to be perfect, and then God can use you. Do not accept that. That is not what I'm saying. But when we really start becoming one with the Word and one with the Holy Spirit of God, we're also going to become one the Father. Jesus said, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And so when we start as the body of Christ, laying aside our carnal thinking, our petty divisions, our fruitless debates over Christian doctrine, and start moving into that place of spiritual maturity and manifested sonship, beloved, then we're going to see a holy nation, a race, a type of people, a group of people that the world has never seen, a people that Joel says shall be as mighty men. Now, I don't know, I'm going to read to you a magnificent passage of scripture. All the word is magnificent, but some are especially powerful as the Holy Spirit brings that word alive. Is that not true, the rhema word? In Joel, the second chapter, verses 7 through 11. Now, sometime when I was young, I always heard it preached, you know, this is referring to the body of Christ. And then I heard something years later that that's not referring to the body of Christ at all. No, it's the work, it's the hordes of demons coming to wreak havoc on the earth. And so, you know, however, let me just read it to you as the body of Christ, that what the body of Christ shall do. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Well, I think that's true. They shall march everyone on his ranks, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. To me, that kind of sounds like what the Lord does as far as orchestrating his body, because after all, he is the head. And also, you know, I read in the Word of God, when the Israelites prayed for God to fight for them, the enemy turned on one another. They killed one another. That doesn't sound like they're, you know, in a spirit of cooperation and not breaking ranks. And it goes on to say in Joel, go back to reading the Word, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Look at Paul. He was bit by a poisonous snake, and they were waiting for him. What was it, on the Isle of Malta? They expected him to die up, blow up and die, fall over dead. And then they were convinced he had to be a god, because he didn't. Well, in other words, they shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm them. There is a measure of protection that God can give to his people. He determines the where and the details, the circumstances. It goes on to say, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. You know, we first have to disarm the strong man, right? And then we can spoil his goods. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. Of course, this is now referencing very end time events. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Praise God. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide it? Amen. Beloved, you may interpret that as you choose, but I can see a strong people, a powerful people. And of course, those last few phrases, sentences talk about, I believe, the return of the Lord Jesus, when he will come with innumerable numbers of his saints riding on white horses. He himself will ride a white horse, and on his thigh are written the words, faithful and true. Praise God. And he shall come to wreak vengeance upon the wicked, upon those that work iniquity, those who have made an absolute firm decision in their will. They want nothing of God. They have sided with the evil one. And at that point, Jesus will return. The blood shall run up to the horse's bridle, the scriptures say, and the wicked shall be utterly defeated. And then for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will set up his earthly kingdom, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And Lord, I don't know what the Lord has for each one of us, but it says that we shall rule and reign with him. John said in that first chapter, unto him that has washed us in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Well, priests minister before the Lord. Isn't that right? But kings, you got to be ruling. We shall rule and reign with him. We already are doing that in heavenly places. I believe by our prayers, we can affect world situations, the nations of the world, beloved. Just don't sit back and think, well, those are for the that's for the intercessors. God is calling all of us to be watchful and to know the times in which we are living, to discern the times that we can pray effectively. We're praying that prayer groups will be raised up all over this nation, all over the earth, and pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, are we going to pray the tribulation away? No. Nope, that's going to happen because God's word says it will. The word of God contains the end time scenario of events. And unfortunately, there are many over the years that have tried to figure out the return of the Lord. Well, they say, you know, we don't know the day, we know the times and the seasons, and that is certainly true. We must be aware as the sons of Issachar to discern the times in which we are living, to not be ignorant of the Lord's will, his mind. However, there are certain things, because the disciples wanted to know before Jesus was healed, Lord, is it time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? No, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Now, is that going to happen? That glorious reign of the Lord Jesus, every single promise that God has spoken to Israel will be fulfilled during that millennial reign. I love God's faithfulness. He's going to do what he said he'll do in our lives and for the people of Israel. Hallelujah. So, beloved, we are living in great and exciting times, and we will, you know, I still have a little bit more to share, and we will do that on tomorrow's broadcast. But in closing, let me share just a couple testimonies that have come in. A brother writing from Adelanto, California, you have been a blessing to me big time. I'm thankful for the Lord crossing our paths and bringing you into my life. The anointing on your life has been used to minister to me in many ways, many times. God bless you, dear sister. And then a sister writing from Oakland, California, God has been good to me and my family. There's been a reverse of some conditions that existed. Even as the Lord spoke that I would change my attitude and show love, that I would see miracles, I've seen that happen and I rejoice. Praise God. Wonderful answers to prayer. Amen. Praise God. Well, my time is gone and we will continue and conclude, Lord willing, on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I take your every letter, whether you send an offering or not, I spend time before the Lord praying for you. And if you, even those that don't send a letter, or if you email saying you're being encouraged, I pray in the Spirit because God knows your needs. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.